You shouldn't want to be in the gym more than 45 to 60 minutes because you got in, you hit it hard, and now it's time to recover, and that's when you really grow.
Time under tension is driving metabolite accumulation.
I look like Spider-Man, but I feel like shit. Come on, Chase, finish it!
Hey guys, welcome back to Strength 101. It's Matresa.
And Nick.
And we are talking about strength made simple today. If you're someone that's been wanting to get into the gym and you're not sure where to start, Nick and I are here to help you break it down so you feel comfortable going into the gym for your first time, your millionth time, whatever it might be. We want to make it simple for you.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that goes into exercise programming, and today we're going to try to make it as simple as possible. So we're actually going to walk you through how to build a workout from scratch, and along the way talk about why we make certain exercise selections, why do we do certain amount of sets, and try to give you the tools that you can build your own stuff. But if nothing else, you're going to end up with a good workout that we're going to write for you. But if you're listening right now and you have the capacity to do so, get out a pen and paper and do this along with us, and you can create your own workout. Should be great. So I think the first place that we want to start, we good, Steph?
Yeah.
Okay. First place that we want to start is in order to grow muscle and get stronger over time, you have to understand this concept of progressive overload. And progressive overload is very simply just a gradual increase of the challenge that you place on your body over time. There's a couple key elements to that. First one is gradual. You're not gonna make massive jumps in strength and muscle mass overnight. And so you wanna go into the gym with a really long-term mentality that it's just you're slowly gonna get stronger. And as long as you're doing lifts time after time and you're getting a little bit better at them, the muscle mass and the strength will come along with that. But things definitely have to be challenging. So it's a gradual increase of the challenge that you're going to place on your body.
And staying consistent with that as well. Too often you see people do a bunch of different exercises every week. They're not staying consistent with specific lifts, and that's where they miss out on those gains. So the consistency within the progressive overload is going to make a big difference.
Exactly. We always schedule 4-week programs at our gym, so we'll stay on very similar exercises. So like if I trained on Monday, the next Monday that workout's going to look very similar. I'm going to do the same things. And what we see from the people that train this way is really that first week, you're just kind of figuring out how to do the lift. Maybe you haven't bench pressed in like 5 weeks and you just have to figure out the technique again and wake that body up. And then you get stronger on weeks 2, weeks 3, and definitely week 4. So the biggest thing we could push on you is get on a consistent plan where you're doing things over and over again. That's the only way to get better. Now, when we're talking about gradually increasing the challenge that we place on our body, it's not all about weight. That doesn't mean you have to go in there and slap extra weight onto the barbell or pick up bigger dumbbells every single time. You can do it in a lot of different ways. You can increase in weight, but you could also pick up the same weight and do more reps with it. That's obviously an improvement, right? You got stronger, you have more endurance. You could also do exercises just with better technique. Now, the first time I got under a barbell to do a squat, like, it was messy. And so the next day, if I got in there to do it again, or 2 days later or a week later, I'm not going to be focused on putting more weight on the bar when I'm still wobbly. Just an improvement in technique is an improvement, and that's also considered progressive overload. Or even just doing the same thing, the same technique, but the set was easier. Maybe I do 5 reps on a squat, and it about killed me 1 week, and I do that same weight the next week, and it just felt easier. Well, I got stronger.
Absolutely, and that consistency all over again. I notice when I especially go on like Instagram, we'll say, for example, you see these people saying, do these 3 exercises for, you know, bigger glutes or whatever it might be. And it's, or maybe a bigger chest or getting better at bench. And they're sitting
like in our social media.
Yeah, well, at least ours are makes sense. Right. How about that? But you are right. But you'll see someone like doing some crazy. It's like, turn your foot this way, do a curtsy. Deadlift to try to get your glutes bigger. When why don't you just do a regular deadlift? That's gonna do, why you don't need to make it more complicated. Or I know we've talked about once we saw someone on a BOSU ball. Is that what they are? The yoga balls, and they were doing a bench press on that. What are you getting out of that? You're not stable. You cannot do heavy weights. Nothing. Sure, you might look at that and be like, "Oh, that's crazy," but most people are gonna say that doesn't work. And so less complicated is what's going to help you the most. So exactly how Nick just built out the progressive overload and how you want to set up your sets and your reps going through the weeks is going to make a huge difference versus just trying all these random exercises that people claim that are going to be great, because simple is better than this complexity.
Exactly. And I've totally been guilty of that. Like, especially when I was training by myself and I was in my own home gym. Like when I lived in Arizona, I had a home gym and I would train in there and I had a bunch of equipment in there, but I would never do consistency. I'm like squirrel, you know, I want to go and do the next thing, or I see something on Instagram and I wanted to try it out. And my progress during that time period where I was lifting by myself and not on a consistent plan was not progress. I really didn't make much progress for many years. And then it's really been helpful ever since we opened the gym, because I obviously do the programs that we do in classes and they're always planned out and they're always progressive overload. And I've just seen my body completely transform with that consistency. I would say even from year one to year two of us having the gym, year one, I was just so busy and stressed out that I would skip workouts a lot of times to get other work done. And in this last year, I've been way more consistent and it's completely changed my body. So we probably harped the consistency message enough there, but stay consistent, guys.
Yes, for sure. And I think you and I can easily say that for how we look versus what we did a year ago, and to even our own members with the consistency. So anyways, it's just making it less complicated than it needs to be, okay? But breaking this down, so we're going to go through how you want to set this up. So on your piece of paper, we are going to be focusing on 3 to 5 exercises. We're going to be focusing on 3 to 5 sets of those exercises. You are going to be hitting it 3 to 5 times per week, depending upon how it fits in your schedule. These workouts are going to be 45 to an hour max. And then we're working out full body on these exercises. So I'm going to be building out 3 exercises for a workout, and Nick's going to be building out 5.
Yeah. And this is where complexity of programming, like if somebody really knows what they're doing, there really is 1,000 ways to skin the cat. Like you can do a ton of different types of programs, types of arrangements, and you can get a lot of results on it. But you want to leave that up to the people that really know why that's transforming people. If you're building your own workouts, stick to that simple format that you just said, 3 to 5 exercises, 3 to 5 sets, get in and out of the gym in 45 to 60 minutes, and you can make progress for years like that. You don't have to make it complex. And we find that every time that we make things too complicated, we get less results. And so it's in your best interest.
Absolutely. And bouncing off that, you'll see too often, oh, I was at the gym for 2 hours getting my workout in, or blah, blah, blah. Well, first of all, you're wasting too much time in there. And second of all, that is no more of a better workout than it is for 30 to 45 to an hour. You know, like the longer you're in there doesn't make it a better workout, FYI.
Yep. I used to spend that much time in the gym when I was like younger and dumber and, you know, just really thought more was better.
Yeah.
And I'll get way more done and have way better results if I can just get it in and out in 45 to 60 minutes. And if you're doing it right, guys, and you're picking your exercises correctly and you're training at the intensities that we're going to describe to you today, then you shouldn't want to be in the gym more than 45 to 60 minutes, because you got in, you hit it hard, and now it's time to recover. And that's when you really grow. So that extra, you know, half hour that you spend in the gym where you're messing around and you're doing little exercises, you're really not getting much done. Mm-mm. It's just not the way it works. One thing I will preface, guys, is as we go through this, we are going to be focused on building a full body program or a full body workout when we're doing this. That's the way we always train. You don't have to train that way, but I would highly recommend it, especially if you're a beginner or you haven't tried training full body every single time you're in the gym. I just think it's a lot better, especially for people who get really sore with their legs. It's really easy to overdo legs. Those are such a big muscle group that it can just suck the energy out of you to do a full leg day, and then you're sore for like 4 or 5 days. I just think it's better to like do small doses of legs. And I mean, the results speak for themselves. Matrace has got big quads. I got big old legs. Like, it works.
Absolutely. And like, you'll see, if one thing you will see on Instagram that is actually more true, or wherever you look at, is when people are setting up, maybe it's your favorite influencer or whatever, setting up their workouts. Sure, it's like, oh, I got 2 days in this week of my legs or my glutes or whatever. Well, that is definitely way more realistic than going in and hitting legs 4 or 5 times a week, because you're not going to be able to get that same stimulus. You're not going to be able to grow that muscle as well, because it's not getting recovered, which we will talk about soon.
Yeah, no, certainly. And that, back to that, there's 1,000 ways to skin the cat, but we're going to give you a very simple method by which to write a workout. So get those pens out. Let's talk about it. So Matresa is going to be creating a workout that is going to have 3 exercises in it. Matresa, who's a good candidate for like a 3 exercise workout? I know that sounds like not enough for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, honestly, it's plenty. Beginners this is going to be great for. And then also if you're going in and you are hitting a little bit of a high stress exercise, mm-hmm. something that's going to wear you out a little bit more, 3 exercises is going to be perfect in this workout.
Yeah, there's a very popular and very effective strength training program that's out there, just called Starting Strength. And it is that whole entire program is just you squat, you bench, and you deadlift in that order every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You don't change the exercises at all. You hit three exercises. And I'll tell you, if you do those three exercises in one session, not only if you're doing them correctly, it's going to take you that full 45 to 60 minutes, but you're going to be toast and you're not going to have energy for anything else. So yes, high stress exercises, if you're doing really big, heavy movements, you're not going to be able to do 5-6 different things. Then I'm going to create a 5 exercise workout. This is really for anybody, but you do need to have enough time to do all of this. I think 5 exercise workouts can be very effective. Also, they can be more fun sometimes for people. If you're only going to do 3 exercises, you really are a little bit more limited on the selection because you have to hit the exercises that are going to activate the most muscle mass and get you stronger really fast. Whereas with a 5 exercise workout, you might be able to do some things that are a little bit more fun and target individual muscle groups. People who need more exercises in their workout, generally, you know, if you have a specific goal, let's just take a bodybuilder for example. Like a bodybuilder is not going to do just 3 exercises in a workout because there's too many small muscle groups that they have to put a specific focus on and grow for them to really get the shapes that they need. So it just depends on the person. We have beginners come into the gym all the time that would be totally great doing a 3 exercise workout and it would take them 30 minutes. They'd be in and out and you can get strong for a long time doing that. But we have beginners come into our place and almost every single workout we do at Strength Academy is 5 to 6 exercises, at least for the core ones. And so we don't really go over that. We try to stay strict about that.
For sure. I would even say the 3 exercise workout would be good for someone who is short on time that wants to get in a workout but needs to just quick get in and out. This is also a great option for them too.
Yeah. We had a child recently, and so she's like 3 months old now. But when I was really at home a lot during that time and I was just working out of the garage and I only had like 30 minutes to train every single time, I stuck to what I was calling 30-minute muscle workouts, and it was 3 lifts the entire time. And I was in and out in 30 minutes, and I was able to definitely keep my muscle mass, and I would say even stack muscle mass on some areas. But let's build this out, right? So first, let's pick our exercises and let's talk about, you know, why we would pick certain exercises over others. Tracia, what you got?
Absolutely. So for my 3, how I'm building this out is I'm going to hit an upper body exercise, a lower body exercise, and I'm going to hit abs because I love abs. But that's going to be our 3 exercises here. I'm going to be choosing bench press, deadlift. We're going to go to conventional deadlift. We're going to be technical. And then where I'm going to hit Russian twists, or you could choose to do more of an ab circuit. So you could choose like 3 ab exercises you enjoy. Why I'm choosing these is because that bench press and deadlift are going to be heavy enough to where I'm going to get a good stimulus there. And then abs, of course, to keep my core engaged and keep working my core muscles. So if I were to write this out, again, we'll pick 1 upper. So then this is that good full body. So bench, lower, deadlift, and then abs, perfect.
So why these exercises? Like why, if like you can only pick 3, why are you picking bench press as one of them? What's so special about that exercise that's better than like me doing shoulder flies or something like that?
Yeah. So more of a compound exercise. So when I set up there, that's going to be a multiple joint exercise. So I'm setting up, working on my chest, I'll be working my shoulders, more engagement than you think. Same thing with deadlift. You're actually engaging your glutes, your quads, your hamstrings, your core, your upper back, full body more than you think on these exercises. So that's going to be what's going to help me burn up quicker on these 2 exercises.
Yeah. Compound exercises are the most bang for your buck. And she mentioned it. What we define compound exercises is multiple joint movements. And so if you take a bench press, for example, then the bench press, you're moving at your elbow, you're moving at your shoulder, you're moving multiple joints, and you're loading a bunch of different muscle groups. Like she mentioned, chest, shoulders, triceps, you're just getting a lot of work done with one movement. Whereas if you pick smaller movements, you may train one muscle really well, but you're not involving the whole body. So if you're short on time, you're only going to do 3 exercises. You definitely want to pick something that's a big compound exercise. Now I would say, when we define compound exercises, there's really only a few that you can choose from. It's like we call them the core 4. So we're talking about a bench press, a deadlift. We're talking about an overhead press, and a squat. Those are like the core four, and any variations off of that are gonna be considered compound lifts too. If I had to throw in a fifth one, I would say I very much consider like our pull-ups or lat pull-downs to be a core lift as well. And so those are the ones that you are going to stick to. And so, you know, like we said, like if you're going to do like a deadlift, or like, let's say you're doing a squat, but then you're like, well, I also like lunges. I would consider lunges a compound lift because you're moving at the knee, you're moving at the hip, and you can load them very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So excellent. And then let's see here. Okay. How about this? Why are you doing them in this order?
Well, so why I'm hitting these in this order first is going to be, I'm going to get pretty tired out on that bench and deadlift since we were just talking about it being a compound exercise. I'm using multiple different joints in both these exercises. My body's going to get pretty taxed out by the end of it. So I'm going to have at least enough energy for abs, because you don't need a whole lot of energy for abs, but I do want to still make sure I burn that section up. If I were to do a bigger lift of, if I would go into a squat or if I'd go in that overhead press, I'm not going to be able to push as heavy on those as I'm going to want to. And two, like my form's probably going to get pretty wrecked by the end of that, because I'm going to be so tired from my bench press or my deadlift.
Yeah, and that's super important when you're deciding what order to do exercises in. The heavier the exercise, the more it's going to force you to have to lock in certain positions to avoid injury. Like if we're talking about a heavy squat, you want to do that when you're fresh so that you can lock your abs in, really keep your back safe, and go through a full range of motion. If I were to do three or four exercises and then try to end my workout with heavy squats, the likelihood that I'm not going to be able to keep that technique and I'm going to get injured just raises up. Or you're just exhausted and you can't lift the weights that you need to be able to lift to keep to that progressive overload concept.
For sure.
Right? Awesome. Okay, so my workout, I'm going to choose, so I'm going to do five exercises on mine, but I'm going to keep those same things in mind. Oh, thank you. Different color. All right, where's my workout here? Okay, so I'm also gonna stick to full body, but I am going to pick to start, like we were talking about, I'm gonna just do a squat, a regular barbell squat. And so that's gonna be a lower body exercise. And then after that, I'm going to do a pull-up, or let's say you're at home and you're like, I can't do pull-ups, why the heck would I do a pull-up? Or you can do a lat pull-down like we talked about. I still consider those big multi-joint movements that get the most bang for the buck when it comes to muscle activation. Third exercise, I'm gonna do walking lunges, all right? Once again, I'm sticking to that compound movement. I'm gonna get the most out of this workout, but you probably don't go quite as heavy on walking lunges as you do on a squat. It's not as stressful on your body. And that one's gonna be lower again, upper. You guys are gonna see that my traces will be much less messy than mine. And then I'm gonna stick to, you'll see I'm training legs and I'm training back on this. So after my pull-up or lat pull-downs, I'm also gonna hit a single arm bench row. Something that's maybe not quite as stressful as my pull-ups and lat pull-downs. I don't go quite as heavy on it, but I'm still getting really good activation. I can still lift really heavy and get the most muscle mass possible. And then on my fifth one, I'm gonna leave this for the end. This is when I'm pretty tired after all of these four exercises, but this is a chance for me to hit some of the vanity muscles. Maybe I pick abs. You know, I just did a bunch of pulling work and I love having bigger arms, so I'm gonna hit bicep curls for my fifth exercise.
Why don't you explain your vanity thought?
What do you mean?
Like, what do you mean by vanity?
Oh, vanity, like the muscles in the mirror, right? The ones that are the pretty muscles. You know, if you just go into the gym and you only work on the pretty muscles, like I just trained arms and abs for a workout, sure, I might grow my arms and my abs, but the rest of my body's not getting work to the extent that we want it to. And so you can make a lot of change in those muscles by putting them at the end still, because when I get to the end, even if I'm tired, I can still do close to my maximum on bicep curls. I can still fatigue them really heavily. So we'll put vanity here. Excellent.
Beautiful.
And so one thing I want to point out, guys, is on a five exercise workout like this, so there's really two ways that we would go about training this. I could do straight sets. I don't know why I'm writing this as a podcast. Straight sets. I could do straight sets, which just means that I'm going to do all of my sets in a row. So we'll talk about sets next, but let's just assume I'm doing three sets on all this for conversational purposes. I would do one set of squats, and then I would rest. And then I'd do another set of squats, and then I would rest. I'd do my third set before I move on to that second exercise.
Now that's a straight set.
That's straight sets. The second way that we can do this is I can start to superset things. We do this a lot in our gym because it allows us to do more work in a shorter period of time. And what I would do there is I would squat, and then I would rest a little bit, and I would come over to my pull-up or lat pull-down, and then I would rest a little bit, and then I would go back to my squat. And depending on how you're doing this, this can allow you to continue to go heavy on your squat and continue to go heavy on your pull-ups or lat pull-downs. But it'll take you less time to accomplish both those exercises doing it that way than if you just did them as straight sets.
Right, get good adequate rest on that muscle.
Yeah, exactly. What else are we missing here? Let's see here. Awesome.
That was good there, right? Sets.
Oh, one thing we want to mention too is we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, but when you're going through this, you know, these are very simple exercises, and we think those are best for building muscle mass because back to that progressive overload concept, you do have to get stronger or perform better on these movements gradually over time. And so if I were to take, you know, my squat, and then just like Matresa said earlier, decide that 3 weeks later, I'm gonna start doing squats on a Bosu ball with a wobbly bar because I decided that instability is the best way to build muscle mass because I wanna make my core better. Well, you might train your core a little bit from doing something like that, but I can guarantee you that you're not gonna put as much muscle mass on your butt and your legs from doing something like that. So inherently, we kind of consider the more variety or the more variation there is to an exercise and the more complex it is, usually that's not as effective for growing muscle just simply because you can't go as heavy and you can't be as strict, you know? So anyways, keep that in mind when you're choosing your exercises if you're doing different ones than we are.
Less is more, and yes, traditional is best, exactly. So for sets, so we're coming back to mine of my three exercises of bench press, deadlift, and Russian twist. Now, how do you want to set this up? Depending upon the time you have, let's say we went for three sets of these exercises. That's probably going to take you about 30 minutes in the gym, in and out, nice and quick. Now, if you're wanting to make it more of an intense workout, you'd probably be in there for a little bit longer. That's going to work on to that four sets or five sets within that time frame there with those three exercises, depending upon the intensity of how you want to hit it. But I would say what's really important is starting out lower, especially if it's your first week going in there and working on this program, getting the feel for what you're doing, trying to feel for the weights and see where it works. And then as the time goes on, we can slowly build up those sets on there to be able to kind of ramp up your weights a little bit more to work on that progressive overload.
I would argue if you're a beginner, you should never really consider anything over three sets for a while. More sets is not necessarily better. It is better when you're an advanced lifter and you can handle that many sets. But if we just took your bench press as an example, if I actually am training hard and trying to push it to the intensity that I should, that we'll talk about soon, I'm going to be so tired after three sets that fourth set, I may not be able to perform highly, and it's kind of wasted energy at that point. It'd be better for me to just move on to another exercise and come back the next week and hit my three sets again. And I'll tell you that like 90% of our exercises in the gym, we do either two or three sets. And maybe there's one on any given program where we go above that. And usually it's not until the later weeks anyways. So general rule of thumb, if you stick to three sets on things, you can get really strong for a number of years without ever having to mess with it.
And I would say with that too, is being very intentional with each and every set of that as well. Mind and muscle connection is very important. Think about what muscles that you're working on these exercises. Being intentional in those three sets are going to be enough for you.
Yep. I would say there are some people, especially strength athletes, that you'll see schedule a lot of sets, right? If I was training for a squat competition and it was a strength competition where I was trying to squat the most weight possible, you know, somebody who comes in and if they're going to do three reps on something because they're trying to practice for a one rep competition, and they only do three sets, well, to them, those you have to look at those sets as practice. And you're only getting nine repetitions of practice if you do that. So you will see some of those people come in and do like eight sets of three. But that's not for the beginners, so we're gonna stick to our three sets on everything that we're doing today. And the way that you wanna train and the way that you wanna think about each of these sets and why lower sets are more important is every single set is an opportunity for you to send a signal to the muscle that it is not strong enough, or it is not big enough, or it doesn't have enough endurance, and it needs to get better. And you want to think of it that way, and I think that can completely transform your training. So, Matresa, how do we do that?
There's two different ways we can do that. One is going to be training to failure, and then another way we can do it is going to be, what I like to say is leaving like two reps in the tank. Yeah. What do you say? You always have a reserve, but the tank makes more sense.
Yeah, two reps in the tank.
Two reps in the tank left. So training to failure, that's going to be making sure you're sending that signal every time to see like how much, how hard can you push yourself to get to that point where it's like, yep, okay, that's the heaviest weight. That's as many as I can get into this. I could not have done anymore.
Yeah, it's very important to have that high of an intensity level, because I think there's plenty of people that go to the gym and they lay down to do a bench press and they do 10 reps, but in reality, they could have done 15 or 20 with that weight. And I frankly very much believe that you are, sure, you are exercising, but you are not training to get stronger or bigger if you do that, because your muscle did not get a signal that said it needs to get stronger or bigger if you do it that way. So if you are the person that is going in and you know you have 5 or 10 more reps in the tank when you finish a set, just know that you're putting a lot of energy out and you're probably not getting much results. So if you switch over to this train until failure type of intensity, that's when you're going to finally see results.
You need to challenge yourself for sure.
Yep.
If you want the results.
And the framework that we use for this, there's two different things that we tell our people in the gym. If we're doing something that's a little bit heavier, let's say we were going to go in and we were going to squat and we were doing anything that was like 8 reps or less, which we kind of consider our strength exercises, then we are going to push them, like Matresa said, to have 2 reps left in the tank. We always tell people you want to pick a challenging enough weight that when you end, when you get to that 8th rep, maybe you could have done 9, maybe you could have done 10, but maybe it would have been a little messy. You maybe you would have been a little nervous about it. So you hit 8 really good, strong reps. You know that those last 2 were probably there, but they would have been a little iffy. And that's a really good place to be on every single set.
Also saves you from injury.
Yes.
That as well with that training.
Yeah, the heavier the exercise is, the less close you want to push to failure, because that's where all the injury risk is.
For sure.
However, on exercises where we're doing really high repetitions, like let's say I was doing bicep curls and I was going to do 15 reps on that. Well, failing a bicep curl for most people is there's very, very little, if not zero, injury risk to that. And so if you are pushing higher reps, especially on smaller muscle groups, you want to train right up until failure. And we define that as until the muscle burn is so bad that you just stop, or you actually fail and I go to lift that weight and I just can't do it. Mm-hmm. And that's when all the growth happens.
Absolutely. So with that, I mean, this is a lot of beating a dead horse of progressive overload.
Yeah.
But with that, we want to repeat high performance in each set, which is coming back to the 8 reps or under.
Yep.
Well, both, I guess. Actually.
Yeah, exactly what you said. Like when you go into the gym, I think people make this massive mistake of not resting long enough. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about progressive overload, we have to get better every week. And if we are training to the intensity that we just described, you're going to need a decent amount of rest time to try to replicate that. So when you go into the gym, if you look and you say, I have 3 sets, you're going to ask yourself, how can I do those 3 sets at my highest performance on every single set? And so a lot of people will go in and they'll do their 3 sets and they'll take like 45 or 60 seconds in between the sets. And then by the time they get to the 3rd set, their weights aren't even close to what they started at. And I would argue that that's less effective for muscle growth. And so you have to be willing to take enough rest time to perform highly on every single set. So if we're doing strength stuff when we're 8 reps or less, what does that look like?
That's going to be, I would say for rest, you're going to be, I know it doesn't sound fun, but about like 3 to 5 minutes in between each set. And what's important about that is exactly what Nick said, because if you're wanting to push the weights and you're wanting to replicate what you just did, if not, maybe even go heavier, you need to have that amount of rest time in between for your muscles to recover and ready to hit that next round just as good as the first one.
Yeah, and that's even more important if you're a beginner and you're not really strong yet. Like there's, you have to lift above a certain threshold to be able to get stronger and build muscle mass. And for a lot of, let's say we have a ton of women in our gym that come in and they've never strength trained before and they've never taken the amount of rest times that we force them to take. And we always tell them like, oh, you have that much rest time? Great. That means you can go even heavier on your next set. Mm-hmm. And that is what finally transforms them into strength athletes and puts muscle mass on their body.
So remember, rest is not a bad thing. Like rest is very crucial for your gains.
Yeah, at least if your goal is strength or muscle mass. If your goal is just getting a cardio workout in, then yeah, work out for an hour with no rest. But you know what? We'll just have bigger arms than you. That's fine. So yeah, that's the rest times for something that's like 8 or under. But if we're hitting something that's more reps, and especially like we said on some of those smaller muscle groups, often the goal when we program higher repetitions, let's say 10, 12, 15, is we're just trying to accumulate as much fatigue in the muscle. There's really only two ways to train to grow muscle. You can either make yourself stronger by repeating high performance at lower reps, or you can really fatigue the muscle fully using moderate weights with higher repetitions. And when we're using those higher repetitions, we want to just pummel the muscle with fatigue. And so in order to do that, we just take shorter rest time. If I was doing those bicep curls, for example, that I have on the board here at the end of my workout, and I was gonna do three sets of 15, I might hit 15 reps, really burn it out, right? I'm pushing close to failure. I'm only gonna take 60 seconds, and I'm gonna go right back into that so that that fatigue is that much more. Cool.
Should we build back into our workout now?
Yeah, let's assign some reps and some rest time to our workouts. Teresa, let's do it.
Perfect. All right, so coming back to those three exercises for our workout. For bench press, I would put us at three sets, hitting those eight reps. So there we can push ourselves to go just a little bit heavier. Along with deadlift, same thing. I just want to keep this as simple as possible. We're going to do three sets there as well. We're going to also hit eight reps. And then when it comes to your abs, depending on how you want to do this, if you want to do Russian twists, we could say about a minute in between at max for hitting your Russian twists. With those, I would say it'll be important to hit your Russian twists at like 30 seconds, okay? So I want you to actually time that one. Still three rounds or three sets, but working for 30 seconds on the Russian twist. Now, if you were gonna do an ab circuit, choose three exercises, and then I want you to go back to back on that for three rounds. So hit those three exercises, bam, bam, bam. Then you get about a minute rest there as well before you hit those exercises again.
Yeah. Why'd you pick the reps for this? So like what's the difference between choosing, you know, five or six reps on your bench press versus eight versus 15?
Well, that eight, I think, is a perfect sweet spot, in my opinion, to be able to push the weight enough and you're getting a good amount of stimulus with the three sets. If we were doing more sets, then that's where I'd decide to drop the reps, just if I'd want to push the weights a little bit heavier.
Yeah. Yeah, anytime that you're really like trying to get stronger, you are going to end up in that little bit lower rep range. And we definitely recommend that for beginners. Mm-hmm. Is the first thing that you have to do is you have to learn how to strength train. You have to learn how to tighten up your body. And so I think a lot of people go into the gym and at first they just do a bunch of high repetition work. But if you're not very strong and you do high repetition, then your weights just aren't going to be heavy enough for your muscles to truly grow. And so we would definitely recommend going into those lower rep ranges if you're a newbie. And hitting it really hard and trying to repeat performance like we talked about, take that long enough rest time and really start to grow your strength first. And once you have a good base of strength, it's really easy to grow muscle mass because now when you go up to higher repetitions, you can just pick up heavier weights. Mm-hmm. So that's the game.
Yeah, focusing on that stimulus for sure. So again, if you're writing this down, if you're doing my workout, you're doing three sets of these exercises, eight reps on bench press, deadlift, and then for your ab circuit, we're going to work on 30 seconds if you're doing Russian twists. And then otherwise, we're going to just do hit all three exercises of your ab circuit of your choice and then getting a minute rest in between there as well.
And some of this stuff, there's no right answer, right? Like somebody, if you're just generally going in and you just want to get bigger and stronger, like you could pick six reps, you could pick 10 reps. And if you're new to this, you're going to be just fine. Like don't overthink it. Just assign a number of reps. And then as you get better with your lifting, as you become more experienced, then you can decide whether you're going to tailor your workouts towards more of a strength base or if you're going to try to pump those muscles up.
Absolutely. One thing I didn't add is my rest in between these, workout. Sorry, guys. Please rest in between. 3 minutes, I'm going to say for sure, in between your sets of bench press, your sets of deadlifts, all that good stuff. So we can push ourselves, get more comfortable with that movement.
Awesome.
All right, Nick.
Now I'll go through mine. So I'm going to start with my squat. Now it's the first exercise. I want to get the most muscle mass activated and I'm trying to get stronger. I just like feeling really strong with my legs and my abs and everything. So I'm going to go down to 5 repetitions with that. So I'm going to do 3 sets by 5 repetitions and I'm going to rest 3 minutes in between each one of those. Now, I would recommend you start with 3 minutes, and guess what? If I'm really strong, let's say I'm somebody who can squat 400 plus pounds, then yeah, maybe I can rest 3 minutes between sets 1 and 2, but then if I can tell that my performance suffered on set 2, maybe I'll take a full 5 minutes before I try set 3 because I wanna try to keep that performance high. But 3x5 on my squat at 3 minutes rest, and then I will go to my lat pull downs or my pull ups, and I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm gonna hit 8 repetitions on that because me personally, if I was to do 5 repetitions, I would have to load my body so heavily on a pull-up that it's gonna start to strain on my joints. So I prefer 8 repetitions for some of this back stuff. And I'm still gonna take 3 minutes of rest in between. And if I'm pushing close to failure, I'm gonna want every single second of that 3 minutes. Then onto walking lunges. Now this next couple exercises, since they are not my primary lifts where I was really driving strength, I'm actually gonna do these to kind of pump the muscle up. And so I'm going to intentionally do a little bit higher repetition with a little bit lower rest time. And so walking lunges, I'm gonna go 3x8 again, but with a walking lunge, you have to keep in mind that I'm doing both legs. So it might say 3x8, but it's 3x8 each, so it's 16 total reps. Now all of a sudden that is high repetition training and my lungs are gonna be pumping. I'm gonna be getting really fatigued on this. But the goal for me on these two exercises is driving that fatigue to the glutes and the legs. And so I'm only gonna take, what did I put here, 90 seconds? I'm gonna take 90 seconds rest, which for some of you are like, oh, that's totally fine, I'll be totally recovered. Not if you're pushing close to failure, not if you're pushing it hard. You're gonna get to that second set and go, holy crap, I don't wanna do this, but that's when you do it and that's when you grow. Then I'm gonna come to the single arm bench row, same thing. I'm gonna do 3 sets, but I like higher reps, like I said, on my back. That's just a personal preference. So I'm gonna do 3x12 each, which is quite a lot, right? That's 24 total reps. I would consider this high repetition training. So I'm gonna keep that to a lower rest time as well. And I'm gonna go 90 seconds of rest in between sets there. And then last but not least, those vanity muscles, bicep curls, like we said earlier, I'm gonna take shorter rest times. I'm gonna train those with higher reps because I'm really just trying to grow and shape the muscle. So I would do 3 sets by 15 reps. Only wanna write reps on. And I'm going to rest only 60 seconds on those. And I can say with confidence that this would be a really good hour-long, pretty stressful workout, and I would need every minute of those rest times on this.
So do not shorten yourself on your rest time, point blank period.
Point blank, yeah. I can't even say it. Point blank period.
So for these, I would say it's important 3 to 5 days a week to be hitting this, right? So this is a good spot to talk about that less is more. Too often I hear people say like, oh yeah, I'm working out 7 days a week or 6 days a week. And depending upon your goals, as you've talked about, if like you just want to get in and do cardio and do whatever, like, okay, you are not going to get your strength goals that you're looking for if you are training that many days in a week, because your body needs time to recover. Recovery means taking rest from exercise. So your sleep is important. Maybe you have an active rest day. You go on a walk. Like it's not like you can't do anything at all, but doing that stimulus of heavy lifting that many days a week is not going to get you what you're looking for.
Yeah, really important. It's back to that progressive overload concept. And just like we said, we want to be able to repeat performance from set to set. It's the same thing when we look at an entire week or week to week. Am I recovered enough to enter the gym and repeat the performances from the week before or even make them better? And if your recovery is hampered, then you're just not going to get the progressive overload. You're not going to get the results over time. So definitely less is more. We see people a lot. Like, so people will enter our gym, right? And we have 2 different classes we run. We run a very traditional strength training class where you would hit a workout very similar to what I just wrote up here. And then we have another one that's more dynamic. It's a circuit workout. It's very short rest times and you're just getting your heart rate up and you're sweating and there's some strength movements in there. Now, a lot of people that come in, their first goal is weight loss. And so when they first learn how to eat in a caloric deficit and start training, sure, more is better from the standpoint of more movement, more calorie burn over the course of the week. Then eventually, after they lose that weight, I end up having a conversation with them. Usually they'll come to me and they'll be like, hey, now I want my muscles to be bigger. I don't feel like I'm getting the strength and the muscle mass growth that I was getting when I first started. And my answer to them is always, well, now it's time, you've gotten stronger. And you've lost the weight that you wanted to lose. Now it's time for you to recover more in between your workouts so you can really drive strength and muscle mass gains. I experienced this when I tore my ACL. So I tore my ACL last July. And since then, I have avoided doing all of our kind of athletic development classes and I've just stuck to the weight training. And what I found is that because I'm recovering in between and I'm only training 3 times a week, my results have been way better. And the stronger you are, the bigger you are, the more recovery you need. And so sometimes taking that full day to just eat, sleep, recover, relax is going to be the best thing for your body if you really want to get stronger and build more muscle.
One of my favorite things that Nick says is you can only train as hard as you recover. And I think that is such a great saying because it's straight to the point. Because it's true. Like if you want to train hard, you also need to recover hard. You can't do one or the other. Both have to be together.
Yeah. I think there's kind of this aura out there on the internet with these fitness people that, like, they're all hardcores, right? They train all the time. They train twice a day. And you can do that if your recovery is on point or you're on steroids. But if your recovery is on point, you can totally do that. But that's, we'll talk about the three things that you really need to have. You have to have excellent protein intake. You have to have excellent water intake. You have to have excellent sleep. That's our recovery triangle. And we'll get into that shortly here. But, you know, those people have put their entire lives into fitness and recovery to make that possible. Whereas if you are a 45-year-old mother of three and you're getting in the gym for the first time, 5 days a week is likely too stressful for your recovery abilities. You may not get enough protein. You're probably getting woken up at night. And you probably don't drink as much water as you want because you're drinking coffee all the dang time. And you just need more time to recover. And that's okay.
Well, exactly. And with that, so if we want to break down that recovery triangle, so protein is extremely important. It might be a shock to everyone. I know we've talked about protein a little bit in the past, but you want to be taking in about as much protein. A, if you're trying to lose weight, it's going to be a gram of protein per body weight, or
per pound of body weight.
Per pound of body weight. Sorry. Thank you.
Yep.
Or it's going to be, let's say, whatever you weigh right now, it might be a sweet spot for you. You're wanting to get in the same amount of protein of body weight. I feel like I can't say that out. It sounds better in my head than when I say it out loud.
That's okay.
Draw it out.
Yeah, draw it out. So if you guys are watching this on YouTube, or even if you're not, pop over to YouTube and look at these graphics. So all I did was draw up a triangle here. At the top of the triangle, we have protein. Like Matresa just said, you want to get in an adequate amount of protein. Like you, for most of our women that we train, depending on their body size, we usually are recommending definitely get above 100 grams of protein. Yeah. And if you can get above 120, that's best for most sizes of women, I would say. And then if you're like more muscle bound, like Matresa, and you train really hard, she's hitting, I'd say 140 plus. What do you hit on a daily basis?
140, 150.
And so that's necessary for her because she has more muscle, she's training harder, and she has to recover there. For guys, it's a little bit more varied because we just come in more shapes and sizes. I would say for men, like if you're kind of a smaller guy, then you definitely have to be able to hit like 170 grams. Like I think most guys should be able to hit 170 grams. If you're getting up to being more like 5'10", 5'11", you're probably going to be creeping towards that 190 to 200 grams of protein. If you're more like my size, I'm 6'4" and like 235 pounds right now. I have to be hitting 225 grams or I'm not being optimal. And probably most days I should hit more like 250. So Matresa is right. If you think the way you would calculate this, if you were going to do it on your paper right now, is you want to think about, okay, what would my body be like if I was at low body fat? And often for people, I tell them, think about what was your body size and weight when you were like at your highest movement levels in like high school or early college. And so when I think about that at my height, now I put on muscle mass since then, but when I was in high school at 6'4", I didn't weigh more than like 195 pounds until I stacked on more muscle. And that's usually right for most people that are 6'4 that haven't been in the gym a lot. And so if I was at 190 pounds and we take that 1 gram per pound of body weight, that's 190 grams of protein in that. Probably really good for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next step. So now that we got protein figured out, water is going to be a next big thing. And I would argue, that all of these are definitely, people do not hit any of these the way that they probably should,
totally.
Most of us. Water, I am a stickler about water. I would say at least like no less than 64 ounces of water a day. Seriously, I know that sounds rough. Get a fun water bottle. That's my thing that helps me. If you're on the YouTube, you can see. Get a nice little tumbler, the Stanleys, of course, whatever. That helps you get in water. You get two of those in, that's 80 ounces right there for the day. And I'm sure you can guzzle those down pretty well. So water is extremely important to get in every day. Helps flush you out, helps keep you full, helps blow up your muscles, all that good stuff, right?
Yeah, water is just massive for everything. I mean, almost every single process in our body is dependent on there being enough water there. And so you're not going to really be able to tell sometimes if you're not getting enough water what you're really hampering. That can affect your sleep. It can affect your mood. It can affect your movement. It can affect your hunger, everything. And Matresa's big on the water. She congratulates me because I don't drink enough water. She'll see me drink a cup of water and she'll be like, hey, good job, you're drinking water. And so.
Okay, so pause. If you're listening to this, drink some water right now. Take a second, pause, and get a jug of water.
Nice. Actually, I will do that.
There you go.
One thing I would consider as well is, like, people always ask, how do I know if I've gotten enough water in? How do I know if I'm hydrated enough? One second, I have to chug my water otherwise.
I can answer it. Is your pee needs to be clear, not yellow, okay? If it's yellow, you are dehydrated. Yep. And if you're like, oh, crap, my water, I hope your water is not yellow. Your pee is yellow every day. Well, then that's a sign that you are dehydrated, and let's fix that.
Yeah. And if you're looking, because you're like, well, it doesn't have to be clear all the time. It's like, if I go to bed at night and I pee right before I go to bed and my pee is completely clear, when I wake up in the morning, not having drank water for like 8 hours, then it's going to have a slight yellow tinge to it. If I don't drink water first thing in the morning, then by the time I get to pee again in the middle of the morning, it's going to be even darker yellow. So that's already happening, and so you have to catch up on it. Mm-hmm. If you look at your pee and it's already a dark yellow, you better start chugging some water right now, because that you're going to further dehydrate before you get all that water in your system.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So do it.
Do it.
All right, excellent. Sleep.
Sleep, go for it.
Well, sleep is another huge importance. I know, Will, as you were talking about earlier, even like if you have young kids, I know it's hard to try to get a full night of sleep, right? But 7 to 8 hours of sleep is going to be super crucial for you, especially for muscle recovery, and if you're trying to train hard. And I know that, like, I mean, maybe you got to take some magnesium at night or something just to help you with sleep, whatever it is. Maybe you get a 10 extra minutes at night to get just like a nighttime routine. I'm going more into depth on that. But seriously, sleep is so crucial. It's not even funny.
Yeah. And I think I view sleep the way I think most adults do. It's like you're just getting in when you can get in, when you have kids and when you have work and everything. And for a very long time, and I still do this, I wake up hot. I wake up and I'm go. And then I go all day, and then I get to go to bed, and it's like I'm still doing things 10 minutes before bed, and I lay down, and I'm like, all right, time to go to sleep. And it's like, well, my brain is just running still, and then I don't get to sleep. And so even if you take 10 minutes to really just, like, relax, breathe, I love picking up my phone and doing, like, a YouTube 10-minute meditation right before bed, because it's the only thing that really gives me something to follow along with so I can actually relax, and I always have better sleep if I do that. The other things, of course, I think most people know this, but it's worth mentioning, you know, if you have stimulants in your system, caffeine, nicotine, if you can cut those out. For caffeine, I'd say probably by noon or 2 at the latest, depending on what time you go to sleep. Nicotine, the half-life's a little bit shorter, so maybe you can push that to like 4 o'clock or something like that. But get those out of your system early. And then alcohol is probably the biggest driver of people's sleep issues.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So definitely take note on that as well. One of my favorite things, you talking about the meditation, I love like trying to read a book before bed. If I'm like not looking at my screen, that's different for me, because if I realize that if I look at a blue light before I go to bed, because I sit on my phone more often than I think I do right before sleep, and it makes a huge difference. So I put that sucker down and maybe take 10 minutes to read. Like, that makes me a lot more tired than it does.
Yeah, right?
But, like, seriously, like, it's...
You get like 1.5 pages and you're nodding off.
I am. Well, maybe it's the book, but anyway.
Books are exciting, yeah. Excellent. And then I think the thing that we always have to mention with the recovery triangle, if you're looking for optimal recovery, there's one element that you can't really control, and that's time. And so, you know, the 22-year-old is going to recover faster than the 50-year-old if everything else is controlled for. You can't control that. One of my favorite Warren Buffett quotes, I think I've said it in the podcast.
You have.
One of my favorite quotes is, you can't get a baby in 1 month by getting 9 women pregnant. Some things just take time. That's the same thing with recovery. You know, especially when it comes to protein, if I were to work out today and then I get protein in 1 hour after I work out, then I'm giving myself at least 23 hours to recover if I'm going to train the next day. Or, you know, if I'm going to train 2 days later, I get a good 47 hours where I'm actually getting protein in my system right away. Whereas if you wait, you know, 5 hours before you get that first bolus of protein in, then you're just delaying it, and it's just going to take time. The body has to go through its process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So patience is a virtue with this. Now, I guess after all of this, we gave you a lot of information on this. Mind you, train to fit your life, okay? Don't like fit your life around training. Like if maybe you are better for the 3 exercises I went through and you just need 30 minutes of the day. Seriously, that is plenty beneficial for you. Or if you have more time in your day to hit like what Nick wrote out for his, maybe you have an hour or so to hit a workout. Great too. Just know that something is better than nothing. So make sure you can fit it in for what works best for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Just be really honest with yourself. If you're legitimately, you know, your sleep's compromised, you know, your eating's a little bit crap, you're dehydrated a lot, then don't tell yourself you should work out five times a week, because you're going to be so stressed out and strung out. And I promise you, when you look in the mirror in those states, your body is not going to look like what you want it to. And if you just dial back to three times a week and you focus on getting a little bit more sleep, you'll look in the mirror and go, oh my God, this was my body all along and I just couldn't see it because I wasn't recovering. It's seriously like a superpower to recover well enough.
And commit to yourself, like know what works for you, right? Like, as you said, don't sign yourself up for something that you know darn well isn't going to be a, this is a lifestyle change. This isn't just something you're doing for a temporary amount of time, right? Like lifestyle change. So do what fits for you and be proud of yourself for committing to that.
Yeah, dead on. And I think to bring this around full circle to where we started, you know, progressive overload is the overarching concept that's most important with this. And so if you go into the gym every day and you just treat it like you're practicing, like I go to do bench press and I just say, I'm practicing getting better at bench press today. If you treat it like practice, which means you're going to do it consistently and you're going to look for a little bit of progress over time, I promise you that the strength and the muscle mass will come with that. If you can just focus on practicing and improving on your lifts and you just do it consistently, you will be jacked, tan, and maybe not tan, but yeah, jacked, tan, and happy with your life.
Well, look at that. Three great things. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, hey, take some of these tips. Let us know if you try these workouts or something that you learned. You can find me on Instagram at MatracaFit, MatracaFit.
Yep, and you can find me on Instagram at Nick, N-I-C-K, double underscore Byom, B-Y-O-M. All of our home gym stuff is at Strength Academy RF on Instagram, at Strength Academy 101 on almost every other platform. So go check us out and comment on something and tell us what else you want to hear.